The title of the sermon is The Presence of His Presence. The Presence of His Presence. The present is another synonym of the present is gift. The gift of His presence. Just a play of word there, a present of His presence. Let me ask you, well, let me start my sermon by asking you a question. What is the most memorable gift that you have ever received as a person? And I'm not talking about abstract gift. I'm talking about something that you hold in your hand and something that you can see. Try to dig back to your memory lane and think about what is the most memorable presence that you have ever received in your life. I hope you do have good presents when you were smaller, but if you never received any memorable presents from anyone in your life, please do talk to me after this, okay? I will try to arrange something for you. All right, pastor is like a father, right? You know, I mean, a father. If you never receive any memorable presents, I think you should. You know, I'll arrange something. You know, to make sure that you receive. You know, for me, the most memorable present for me was a guitar from my dad. I was a junior high school, about 13 years old. And one day, my dad came back from Taiwan, Taipei, and then, you know, he carried a guitar for me, and then he gave it to me. I didn't play guitar before, so he gave that guitar, and that was so special. I don't know why he has to buy. It's a Yamaha guitar, but I don't know why he has to buy it in Taiwan. You know, in Indo, there's a lot of Yamaha guitar. But it is just, I don't care about it, because I just care that I was given this guitar, and this guitar is very, very special to me. You know, to me, memorable presents mean this. A memorable present somehow affect your hearts deeply, and it affect your kind of perspective, at least temporarily. You know, it's a special gift, and it's very memorable. This guitar, by the way, allow me to learn guitar lesson. You know, and from guitar lesson, the skill that I learned, I was able to do many things. I was able to play the guitar, you know, for leading worship in my small group or chege. We call it chege to the care group. And from the chege, playing guitar, it allows me to speak in the care group as a speaker and then lead the care group. And then from there, today I'm leading a church. So it's a special gift, memorable gift, and it's even more memorable because my father was not known to be someone who display affectionate love too much to his kid. You know, Asian parents, they are terrible in expressing love, you know, like terrible, pokoknya. You know, they don't say, I love you, you know. Today, I don't know, I say, I love you to my kids a lot, but it's the kid that doesn't want, you know, come on, kiss and hug papa. Mau dia. You know, I'm hurt a lot, but it's okay. Where is my son? Hello, hi, son. No, not this one. Of course, you are good. But anyway, you know, I mean, my dad was not known as a very affectionate man. So when he gave it to me, I remember the day he gave it to me, you know. And that the rest is history. I didn't play very, I do not still play very well. Yeah, I did take lesson, but at least it's enough for me to sing a worship song. And by the way, I suggest, see, he's saying amen to all my preaching. There, he's going to be future preacher. So I suggest, by the way, for those of you who do not know how to play any instrument, just pick up a guitar, borrow a guitar, you know, buy a cheap guitar. It's very easy, very easy. Let me tell you, playing guitar and then sing is so much fun. And though also, I remember, you know, playing guitar during my lonely day when I was a student, no girlfriend, very poor, you know, and you can play this guitar, just one key, you know, D. D is the easiest. Okay, if you play guitar, you know, D is the easiest one. Just play D, you can sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, Potong Bebek, Angsa, semuanya bisa. You can do that. So, just D, okay? So, if Ko Johannes, he never, have you ever played, take any musical lesson when you were younger? No, right? He can train Nicola to play Pachelbel and so many other songs. So you can enjoy guitar. But anyway, that is the most memorable gifts. My second question today to you, is there anything better than the most memorable gifts? Yes, there is. In fact, yes, there are. There are two more. That's what I want to show you. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift. How many? Good and every is one. But there are two types. Okay? Good and perfect gift comes from above. What above? Where above? It's coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. There's two types, but there are many. Every is one of among many. There are more. That's why the word every means there are more, but every single one have these two characteristics. It could be one of the two. Good or perfect or both. Let me try to illustrate to you what is a good gifts for me. I was a poor student when I was in my second year of college. My father experienced bankruptcy. The economic situation is kind of similar with today. My dad was ship owner representative. His company is in Taiwan. That's why he went to Taiwan to get my guitar. But he went to Taiwan, and because the owner is in Taiwan, and then his job is to be the owner representative, you know, like an agent. If people want to rent a ship in Indo, they go to my dad, and my dad will tell the ship owner in Taiwan, hey, somebody want to rent a ship. So in 1983, Indo had economic problem that makes the government make a decision. We do not want too much imports. We want to limit import because we want to preserve devisa in English. I don't know what it is. Preserve the money lah in the government. We do not want money going out from Indo. We want to preserve it. Therefore, we want to limit import. When the government limit import, means there is no goods coming into Indo. When there is no good coming into Indo, there is no need for a ship bringing the goods. And when there is no ship bringing the goods, there is no business for my dad. That's why the dad become bankrupt. No income. And that is 1983, my second year in college. And to make situation worse for my dad, that is not for me. Mine is like already bad. But for my dad, he had some US dollar saving. And then he said, okay, no business from the business dry up from the ship. I'm going to start a new business that is to make road in Bengkulu. Bengkulu is one of the place in near Sumatra, one of the island, I think. I never been there. But it's been Bengkulu. And I was here already. I don't know what he's doing. This is from the story from my mom, what's going on in our family. So he said, okay, well, I'm going to start a business, new business, to make roads for the government. So he exchanged all his saving, all this USD, you know, into rupiahs. In your heart, you already kind of, something bad is going to happen, right? Exactly. So at that time, one USD was 600 rupiahs. This is 1983, 600 rupiahs. The next day after he changed the money, there is a devaluation. From 600 rupiahs become 1,000 rupiahs per dollar. Don't just look at the number. Think about the percentage. From 600 rupiahs become 1,000 rupiahs. What is the devaluation? 60-some percent. It's saying today if USD is 15,000 rupiahs, 60% later, it is about 25,000 rupiahs. Is that a lot? Yes, I think so. Before he even started that business, he already lost 60% of his money. And then, long story short, he works for the government, makes road in Bengkulu. He got malaria, which never heal. If you get a malaria, it never heal for the rest of your life because the malaria is inside you. He got malaria. After he finished the project, the government did not pay him. So it's just total loss. And I was here studying in my second semester, freshman. Mom sold his anting, his berlian, his jewelry, everything, at least to support one more semester. But when I was already in sophomore, going to junior, there's no more money, dried up. And I remember for 2.5 years, every single day that I woke up during my junior and senior years, it seems like there is a dark cloud following me everywhere. I'm walking in darkness. Why in darkness? Because you wake up, you don't know what is the purpose anymore being here and whether you're going to be able to finish your school or not. You cannot plan anything because you are not even sure that you can finish the school. That's my struggle during my junior and senior years. I remember my heart a lot of time become very angry, very disappointed. I remember walking out from the register office. The register office is where you pay, and this lady sitting in front of me, and I remember walking out from her room very angry because inside she would say something like, why are you still here? I didn't pay 2 semesters of tuition, and this is what she said. Why are you still here? Why are you not going home? You don't have money. And I couldn't say anything. I was just sitting there. I said, I'm sorry. But I didn't even know if I can pay the tuition. I walked out from the room. I got very angry, very disappointed. And I said to myself in my heart, I remember what I'm thinking at that time today still. I said to myself, you lady, you wait. I'm going to finish my school. I'm going to get a job right here. I'm going to be your boss and I'm going to fire you. That is because I was so disappointed and angry to her. I was hurt because she said, what are you doing here? Why don't you just go home to your country? Long story short, I was part of Chege care group. They all supported me, prayed for me. I finished my school. I finished with 2 degrees. 5 people in that Chege collected money. Pay for the tuition starting from second semester sophomore all the way until I finished 2.5 years. They supported me. When I graduated, they bought me suit and pants for interview. I flew from Wisconsin, Madison to Sacramento, Bay Area, to look for a job. They prayed for me. They gave me my suit and my pen. I got interview. The only interview I got a job. Talking about reversal of fortune. That is good gift from heaven to me. That's a good gift. It just like turned around my life. When I was in college, that 2.5 years, I was walking in the darkness. I was disappointed, angry, sad, no hope, in pain, terhina. As soon as I got a job, a reversal of fortune happened. This is a good gift from heaven. I don't have to be disappointed. When I went to ATM, I went to ATM a lot when I was in college, those 2.5 years. Every time I went to ATM and put in my ATM, I'm looking at the numbers that come out from the screen, expecting it to be different. It's always the same. $25. $25 is the minimum money you need to maintain the account. I was a Christian already. I received Christ on the same year that my dad went bankrupt. I had faith. I expect God, miracle will happen. Miracle will happen. This 25 suddenly will have extra zeros at the behind of it. It never happened. It never happened. Always 25, 25. But when I got a job, when I got this good gift from heaven, from God, I believe it is from God. I went to ATM. At least at the beginning, it is not 25 anymore. It's more. It's a few hundred dollars. I don't have to worry about buying my food because I worry a lot about buying food. during those days. That's why I work at the cafeteria. If you work in, this is a lesson, and I don't think anybody this is applicable. But just in case, there's one of you that is applicable. If you ever short of money and for a longer period of time, this is how you do it. Okay, you work in cafeteria. You work where the food is, because I wonder why the homeless people, you know, sometimes do not think of this, you know. Like, why do you have to camp somewhere far from McDonald's? You know, just camp in front of McDonald's. And then, you know, well, this is the thing. American is a land of abundance. And they throw out a lot of food. Friday is the best time to work. Because Saturday, they close. Sunday, they close. On Friday, they empty the fridge. It's all perfectly good sandwich being wrapped in string, all good yogurt and stuff like that, fruits. But they don't want to keep anything in the fridge. They throw out everything. So it's a party day for me Friday. You took home everything. You took home all the sandwiches. It's good for the weekend and plus Monday and Tuesday probably, usually. It's good. I am never hungry, by the way, even though I do worry about food, and I do envy those who can go to Wacky Noodle. You know, there's a Wacky Noodle in Wisconsin, and my friend will go to Wacky Noodle and then, you know, eat their good Asian food, and I'm here with my sandwich. You know, there's a lot of difference between noodle and sandwich, you know, in terms of taste. I don't like, that's why today I never like sandwich anymore for the rest of my life. But that is a good gift. It turns around. Now at least I don't have to worry about the food, and I don't have to worry, you know, I mean, I don't have to envy those who go to I can plan small vacation, even only for Tahoe, you know, at the beginning of your career, Tahoe is the best you can afford. So you can, I can. And so to me, that is a good gift of heaven. But is there a perfect gift? Yes, there is. And Matthew is saying this. Let's look at it. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. What is the, I just explained to you what is good to me, but what is perfect? Matthew is telling us. Matthew 4, verse 16 said, the people who lived in the dark have seen a great light, and a light has come upon those who live in the region and in shadow of death. He, by the way, he is quoting someone by the name of Isaiah who lived about 800 years before him. It's actually the same word from Isaiah. Isaiah is in your electronic Bible. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. He's quoting Isaiah from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, that says the same thing. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and by the way, those two are just places in Israel, and Matthew didn't even quote it, I don't think. He's naming the place. He's just quoting Isaiah. Now, Isaiah lived in the 8th century BC, and he lived and he wrote in the time when the Israelite people were under occupation by an empire called the Assyrian Empire. It's not that important. It's just Asian. I mean, the Jewish people were occupied a lot by this different empire. 8th century BC, it's Assyrian Empire. 6th BC, it's the Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. And then after that, Assyrian, Syria, Babylonian, Roman. The time of Matthew, who wrote this thing, they were under the occupation of the Roman Empire. Just world history a little bit for you. But anyway, Isaiah wrote, and his writing was gloomy. Oh, we are under occupation. We are suffering. Now, I know that none of you have ever been occupied by anyone as far as foreign nation is concerned. Anybody here have ever lived in a time of the Dutch or Japanese occupation? You were too young, right? You were too young for that. But I want you to imagine a little bit what life likes under occupation. What is life like under occupation? Let me tell you. Let me interpret for you a little bit, just in case your imagination cannot go there. If you are living under occupation, that means you do not have a freedom to do what you want. Yes? That means the occupier can tell you anytime what you do and what you cannot do. And usually, the occupier will make your life miserable by telling you a lot of things that they don't want to do, that they'll tell you to do it for them. And nights are filled with tears, crying, complaining. Those who live under occupation live in fear. At all times, they are fearful that those who occupy them will find them doing something wrong, and immediately, without trials or without judges, without juries, will put you in prison. If you live in occupation, you live in fear. You are always not sure whether you are doing right or wrong. Isaiah wrote in that kind of time, gloomy, gloomy, gloomy. But suddenly, he wrote this. He interrupted his flow of gloominess, and then he wrote this. The people who live in the dark have seen a great light. This is not gloominess. This is hopefulness. If you can see. And the light has come upon those who live in the region and in the shadow of death. Now that dark region just experience light. That is what he said. No more gloominess. Suddenly there is a hope. And Matthew, quoting him, is just saying the same thing. And of course, because this is Christmas season, you can guess what he meant when he said, suddenly, people who live in the dark have seen a great light. Who is he writing about? If you're like the Sunday school children, you'll say, Jesus, and you'll be right. That's who he is writing about. Matthew writes that these people who walk in darkness suddenly see great light. And then, how is it connecting to our lives today? So what? If you've seen the light, so what does that mean for us? This is what it means. You know, a lot of people today, just like me before, you know, we live in darkness. And we live in hopelessness. And we live in fear, not sure whether what we are doing is okay or not. And we live like people is under occupation with no hope. But because we see Jesus, we hear Jesus' good news, now suddenly we see the light. And Jesus said, you want to experience this light, this is what you do. The next verse after Matthew announced that the people who live in the darkness see the light, Jesus suddenly come into the picture. Matthew is quoting Jesus, and Jesus says this. From that time, Jesus began to announce this light starting to speak, to announce. And this is the announcement. Change your hearts and live. Here come the kingdom of heaven. Jesus announced it. If you want to experience the light that is from the Father of heavenly light, change your hearts and live. Change your hearts. What does that mean? A lot of Christians become a Christian because of tradition. We sing Christian song. We perform Christian rituals. Yet we are not living in the light because we never change our hearts. Our hearts are the same hearts as those who walk in the darkness. What is people who is walking in the darkness do? They walk without hope. They walk in sin. They walk without assurance or confidence whether what they are doing is right or wrong. They are always feeling condemned. Man, am I okay here in the front of God? Am I being a good person? Am I going to die and go to heaven or go to hell? I'm just not sure. People who live under occupation, they are not sure. There is no confidence like people who live under occupation. Jesus said, you don't have to live like that. You have seen the light. A single sunbeam is enough to drive away many shadows. St. Francis of Assisi says this. A single one sunbeam. If you ever seen any light, just a little bit light of Christ, all the shadow can go away. You do not have to continue living in the darkness. I like seeing Assisi, Francis of Assisi, because I'm excited, and that's why I'm telling you I'm going to go to Assisi in the next few weeks. There's a monastery there where St. Francis monastery. He was born in Assisi, died in Assisi, in a region called Umbria in Italy. I did all my research about it already because I'm too excited, right, wanting to go to Italy. So there, a thing. But then I said, what did St. Francis of Assisi said about the light? And it happened. He said this, a single sunbeam. When you read this thing, what is coming up in your heart? Try to put yourself in the mind of St. Francis of Assisi. When he said, a single sunbeam, a single sunlight, sun ray, the beam of it, can enough to drive away many shadows. What are you feeling? Come on. Hello? What are you feeling? Don't you feeling a feeling of hope? Imagine this room is very dark, and suddenly one light turn on. Oh, there's an effect, right? But then suddenly you can see. Before you walk in darkness, you cannot see. You are not sure what is in front of you. You are not sure about what you're doing, whether what you're doing is on target or not. Whether when you put down your bottom to the chair, whether you're going to be sitting on the chair or not, whether you're going to miss it or not, because it's dark. But as soon as the single ray of light come, now you become sure. Hey, no problem. I can sit and not fall. I can walk and see all the things that can cause accident. With safety, I can walk. A single sunbeam. You have seen it. Now, not only seeing it, Jesus said, experience it. You want to experience living in the light? People who experience living in the light, let me just go to the opposite side of it. I already explained people who living in the dark. Now, people who live in the light, this is what they can do. They walk confident. They walk very sure. They have a Savior that accept them as a father, as a child, as a son and daughter. They are not confident. They are confident, and they are secure. They can see the future with sure assurance that yes, their life will be okay. Because this light is the perfect gift. Jesus is the perfect gift for you. And when you read this thing too, the single sunbeam is enough to drive away many shadows. Feel the power that St. Francis feel. This is a powerful stuff. This one single sunbeam can drive away the darkness. It is powerful. It's able. Know that Jesus in your life is powerful. He can take away all your sin. He can take away all your sadness, all your unsureness, all the fear that you have about your future. He can take it away. He can shine the light on it, and we will be safe. That is Jesus. That is Jesus. What Jesus can do for you. I don't have a note here. I don't know where I'm preaching from, but I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you in excitement because it happened in my life. I was walking in darkness, but then a good gift comes. But let me tell you, if you got the perfect gift, the good gift is just a matter of time. Let me repeat that again. If you got the perfect gift, the good gift is just a matter of time. The Bible says if he is not sparing his own son and give that son to you while you were still sinners, unworthy to receive this perfect gift, how much more he will not give you whatever you need? If you already got the perfect gift, Jesus Christ, the good gift, all the blessing, whatever that you need, it's just a matter of time. And it's powerful, this sunbeam, this sun ray. I don't know what kind of darkness each one of you are living under right now. But let me tell you, Jesus can do it for you. No matter what kind of struggle that you have right now, be it relationships, be it financial, be it some slaving habits that you have in your life, whether that is pornography, whether that is excessive gaming, whether that is unhealthy relationship with someone, whether that is a habit that you know is wrong, but you cannot help it, and you keep doing it. That is darkness. That is darkness. And today, I just want to tell you, Jesus says, the perfect gift is coming to you. It is a ray of lights, and it is a powerful light that allows you to live if you change your heart, that is. That's what Jesus said. Change your hearts. It is not a method where you have to drink certain numbers of water, you know, cups of water, like people in diet. It's not like that. It's all happening in your hearts. You choose to believe him. You choose to know that he is powerful and he is able to save you and to bring you out from the land of the darkness into the land of the light, the kingdom of the darkness into the kingdom of lights. He is able to do it for you. I just want to give that confidence inside of your heart. It happened to me. I'm excited about it. I'm so happy that God is my God, and he has done it for me. Last week, two people share in front. They had difficult childhood. They were abused as a child and some financial situation too. You heard it. Those of you who were here, these two people, God helped them because Jesus helped them. They know Jesus, and then there is a perfect gift from heaven that totally reversed their fortune. Now they are living a life that is alive. You heard it, right? Remember who shared here? This morning, a part of my quiet time is I read story. There's a guy, you can Google this guy, Rene Martinez. Rene Martinez is a gangster. He was in New York City. He is involved in mixed martial arts club. Fighting club. He defeated the 3-time world champion in Venezuela. He has involved in murder. So many lives in front of him died. He said this is his testimony. But when Jesus, the light of the world, came into his life, it totally changed him. Just go ahead and Google him, Rene Martinez, R-E-N-E Martinez. It's a story, an amazing transformation, because he received the light and he experienced the life, and he changed his heart and he lives. Jesus said, change your heart and live. Do not die. Do not walk like in the land of the darkness. You start showing confidence that Jesus is for you and not against you. And he loves you and he takes care of you. He's taking care of your future. Just believe that. He is the light in your life. And Jesus, let me just close with this. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Let your light shine before others. Don't live a gloomy life. Do not walk around like people who have a toothache, you know, permanent toothache, eternal toothache in your face. Just live like someone who is living, because you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your fathers in heaven. You are Christian for goodness sake. You are beloved child for goodness sake. Don't walk around gloomy. Show confidence that your God loves you, that your God cares for you. You are the light of the world. Shine the light. So that is the Christmas preaching today. He that is the light of the world. People who live in the darkness have seen the light. He came. He loves. He cares. So my call to you today, as we close our service, my sermon, receive the light. Experience the light. Walk in the light of Christ and spread the light to your friends. God bless you. Let's all stand together.